Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.
Of course, there's only one man and one story on the front of all of the papers today. Daniel Kinahan, the Irish Daily Star. Guess Who's Back is the headline. Daniel's armed escort. The Irish Sun, the D-Day, lifted in Dublin after 8-hour flight. Daniel Scruffy at 14-minute hearing. And dishevelled, as he's described in the Sun, dishevelled Daniel Kinahan told a judge he knows he won't be getting bail over an organised crime rap after landing back in Ireland and appearing in court yesterday. And we also heard from the court appearance that Mr. Kinahan told the judge, Mr. Justice Patrick McGrath, he didn't have any time to arrange legal representation and he assumed his family were going to do it for him, but no one organised it. The Irish Daily Mail, I know I'm not getting bail. After a decade-long battle to bring him home, Daniel Kinahan court hearing last night heard him say, I know I won't be getting bail. Some of the papers say it was, the Sun says it was a 14-minute appearance. The Irish Daily Mail says it lasted 12 minutes and 36 seconds. So some journalists had the stopwatch out to find out how long the court appearance lasted for. And he was arrested at, plane landed at 6:31 yesterday evening. The Irish government jet carrying the alleged gang leader touching down at Baldonnell Airfield in West Dublin. There were some rumours that it was going to land eventually at Dublin Airport rather than Baldonnell, but all of course the security was at Baldonnell. The Irish Independent, Daniel Kinahan in custody on charges of directing gang. And then we have a picture on the front of the Irish Times of Daniel Kinahan, I think, it says it's him back right, but it's very hard to tell if it's him or not. But the picture is of Daniel Kinahan being driven from the Criminal Courts of Justice with a Gardaí with masks over their face as well. And the headline on the front of the Irish Times, Kinahan charged with directing organised crime after return to Ireland. There are pages upon pages upon pages of coverage of the drama of yesterday in the papers. So if you're interested in that story, plenty of reading. Elsewhere on the front of the Irish Times, Dublin Bus is hiring South African drivers. Almost 100 drivers from South Africa have been hired to drive buses here in recent months. Dublin Bus is continuing to look for new ways to fill vacant roles caused by staff turnover and expanding services. So in the past, Dublin Bus have gone off to Spain and the Philippines to try and get workers. And now we've gone to South Africa for the first time, and that has resulted in hiring 93 drivers. Handily enough, all these drivers already possess the driving licenses required to drive buses. So they're being brought to the Republic at a rate of 6 a week to facilitate migration and training requirements. So if you are someone who uses Dublin Bus, get used to some South African drivers that you can thank when you get off the bus. The Irish Examiner on the front page looks at that crash yesterday on the M50. And obviously, very serious incident, but also a very serious incident for traffic yesterday, because it meant the M50 had to be closed for hours. I think it only reopened at around 5:30 yesterday evening. But the Examiner says a teenager was left critically ill and 8 other people injured in that head-on collision on the M50 yesterday. And Gardaí say the vehicle was spotted travelling northbound on the southbound carriageway. So that's going the wrong way up the road at Junction 12, Firhouse, at 5:30 in the morning. The vehicle was driving down the up ramp at Junction 12 when it collided head on with a car. So we had 8 teenage boys all brought to hospital along with the driver of the second car. Quite a frightening incident and a very, very serious incident, and certainly frightening for the other driver who was driving the normal way down the M50 to be confronted with that. Now, News Talk Breakfast are going to be talking about vapes later, and the Irish Times is too. It says the government is considering a ban on the sale of tobacco and nicotine inhaling products to anyone born after a certain date. And this follows what they're doing in the UK. So as part of a review into tobacco control, the Department of Health is looking at measures which would mean young people would never be legally able to buy cigarettes or vapes. And Fianna Fáil TD Malcolm Byrne has published legislation on this, and he explains it in the Irish Times as, over time, it would mean 18-year-olds become 19-year-olds, become 20-year-olds, and you can't sell the products to them. And then you see a tobacco and nicotine-free generation. Something we've been talking about for quite some time, but it looks like we're ramping up that. Now, the Irish Independent has been looking at burglaries and where are the hotspots around the country. And basically, it's the east of the country. So there's a big divide in the country, a clear national divide emerging in terms of house break-ins. The highest burglary rates were all along the east coast. Levels recorded of over 50% above the national average in Dublin, Wicklow and Louth. They have maps and everything in the Irish Independent if you really want to delve in to what counties are worst affected by it. And this detailed analysis of official crime figures also shows the counties with the lowest rate of burglaries on a per capita base were all concentrated in the northwest. So it's the east coast is the area where we have a break-in hotspot. So obviously people will be advised to make sure everything is locked up safely at home. And as I say, you can go through the maps there in the Indo and have a look at that. Elsewhere, passports. We're getting a reminder today from Minister Helen McEntee to check your passport. I don't know why they're doing this now when the summer is nearly over, but they're reminding people now to check the expiry date on your passport. But also we're told in the Irish Examiner something that's long overdue. The passport office is finally going to send out reminders that your passport is out of date. The first time we're going to do this, so the passport office will let you know when your passport needs renewing, which is a great service that we haven't had before and will cause a lot of people, this does cause a lot of people major headaches when they go and try and fly and realise, oh, it's not 6 months in date. So the service will come into place next year for people applying for their passports. However, due to data protection rules, the change will only apply to passports issued from 2027. So you're going to have to get your new passport first. And then with the new passport, which does have the lovely Irish Wolfhounds on it as well, with your new passport, then you'll be told, this needs renewing as well. Long overdue, one would feel. The Times of London is looking at convertibles. No one's driving convertibles anymore for some reason. And the Times of London says that the love affair with open-top motoring is becoming little more than a nostalgic memory because convertibles are being replaced by the family SUV. Sales of new convertible cars, open-top, soft-top cars, have fallen by 90% in the space of two decades. So they give figures here for the UK. 11,000 convertibles were sold last year. In 2005, that was 110,000. That's a massive rate of decline. And then we have here Toyota, Vauxhall, Peugeot, Citroen, Honda, Jaguar, Lexus. They've all withdrawn from the convertible market. Even Audi, which had success with its A5 cabriolet, the TT Roadster as well, they no longer offer a soft top car as well. Merck has slimmed down the amount of convertibles they offer, and BMW just now have a 4 Series convertible and the Z4. I quite like a convertible, that's quite upsetting. And final story comes from The Sun. I know we're all expecting a heatwave later in the week, but pubs are already taking bookings for Christmas Day and for the Christmas Day dinner in the UK they're taking bookings for. So one pub there advertising a 3-course meal with trimmings. They even put a Santa sign on the bar to advise customers to book more than 18 weeks ahead of time for Christmas. And the landlady says it gives guests the ability to secure preferred times early. But one drinker called Dylan John, whoever he is, said, "I nearly spat my beer out when I heard about this. I keep getting ads for Christmas parties." They obviously have to be booked in advance as well. So it won't be long now till Brown Thomas opens its Christmas shop, essentially. Anyway, those are the stories in the papers.
Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.